The future was invented 75 years ago today, a little rig that could fit into a shot glass. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the Senate has passed a bill banning federal employees from downloading or using TikTok on government devices. It's the latest of a series of moves in Washington to limit this app. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The Senate bill would apply to all federal employees, except for some who work in national security or law enforcement. Sponsors of the legislation say it's designed to keep China from accessing the personal information of Americans using TikTok. TikTok says it would never give any data to the Chinese government. The House would have to pass the bill, and President Biden would have to sign it by the end of the year for it to become law. Some states have already banned the use of TikTok on state-owned devices, and earlier this week, Republican Senator Marco Rubio introduced legislation that would ban TikTok from operating in the U.S. A news release from Rubio's office says the legislation would prohibit transactions from any social media company under the influence of Russia or China. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The stock market is continuing to skid this morning after the head of the U.S. Central Bank warned this week he is not letting up on higher interest rates until inflation really comes down. After the Dow fell 764 points yesterday, Dow and S&P futures this morning are down another 1%. Seventy-five years ago today, the future began with the invention of the transistor. A lab notebook indicates that researchers at Bell Telephone Laboratories first got the thing to work on this day in 1947. This week here, we've been looking at the ecosystems of transistor innovation from New Jersey to Texas to California. Today, the role of immigration, starting with an elusive desktop calculator.
I've been hoping for a long time that somebody would find a 141 PF sitting in their closet gathering dust and go, hey, you know, do you want this thing?
Rick Benson, an IT guy in Oregon, owns a lot of vintage units as founder of the Old Calculator Web Museum. Anyone got one called the Bizicom 141? He'll pay for shipping.
It's the 141 PF, which is the special one. That became the very first consumer item to be produced that utilized a computer on a chip. They're very hard to find today.
This calculator was marketed by a Japanese company, but its brain was devised in California in 1971. That brain is the first commercial microprocessor. It was developed at Intel by a guy from Rochester, New York, Ted Hoff, and a fellow from Vicenza, Italy, Federico Fagin, assisted by Masatoshi Shima of Japan. Embedded in that were 2,000 transistors that were innovations in themselves. They used a sandwich technique, something devised years earlier at, it keeps showing up in this project, Bell Labs in New Jersey.
The MOSFET is really the technology that makes what we could say Moore's Law possible, the possibility of continual growth in the number of transistors we put on an integrated circuit.
Ross Bassett is a professor of history at North Carolina State University. The development of electronics in the U.S. features many immigrants from Europe. Alexander Graham Bell, the phone's inventor, was from Scotland. Nikola Tesla's from what is now Croatia. And the two researchers who chose an unconventional path to improve the transistor were Mohammed John Atala, raised in Egypt, and Dawan Kong from Korea.
Atala and Kong were from what we would now call the Global South, and they were drawn to the United States by American graduate education in engineering. And so that was sort of the magnet that brought them to the United States.
Dr. Bassett was able to meet Dr. Atala late in the inventor's life.
One of the things that was interesting about Atala is that he refused to limit himself to a discipline. He called himself a problem solver. He worked on the MOS transistor. Then he moved out to Silicon Valley and worked for a branch of Hewlett-Packard. And then he finally started his own company, which was involved in cryptography.
Another Atala invention, the ATM pin code. To research the intersection of immigration and innovation, Jennifer Hunt, a professor of economics at Rutgers University, counts up patents.
immigrants patent at about twice the native-born rate.
She says one reason is because more skilled immigrants come to the U.S. with the kind of experience that lends itself to invention, compared to, say, a law degree from overseas.
Whereas physical sciences and engineering, at least in their pure form, completely portable.
And research shows when skilled immigrants are part of the mix, patents by U.S. native-born researchers also rise. Everyone gets more motivated in some way.
It seems likely that working in teams, for example, of native-born workers and immigrant workers tends to lead to a better outcome than if there had been no immigrants in the teams.
As for that foreign pipeline of talent, the number of graduate students studying in the U.S. from Asia, including India, has now rebounded from its pandemic trough, 284,000 in the last academic year. But with tech stocks sagging, some skilled immigrant workers may have to leave for other countries as visas expire. Longer term, semiconductor work in the U.S. is set to boom with new federal funding, fueled by national security and supply chain worries. It's $280 billion to bring back to the U.S. the production of microchips, which come slathered in transistors invented 75 years ago today. How does the bounty that comes with innovation get spread to more people? How can new ecosystems of innovation decrease inequality? Just some of the topics we hope to explore on this program in the new year. The Future Began 75 years ago was produced by Alex Schroeder with Erica Soderstrom and Jarrett Dang. Our editor was Meredith Gerritsen-Morby, the digital producer Redmond Carolipio, our field engineer Gary O'Keefe. Our engineers in L.A. are Jessen Dooler and Nick Esposito. If you missed any part of this week, do not miss the podcast special. It'll be atop the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed starting this afternoon. I'm David Brancaccio with our Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.